Welcome to Popcorn and Podcasting.
Welcome back to another episode of Popcorn and Podcasting.
Yay. We sound so excited.
We are. Because...
we have a good talk today.
Yeah.
Well, not that they're not all good, but...
actually, yeah. It's kind of a group of talk chunks.
Quotes.
Yeah. And remember, we're talking about music, art, and media. And we're still focusing right now on music. And this little quote was just one that I thought was interesting because... that I think is interesting because it deals with standards. And standards are a big part of our music intake and so forth. Sorry about the crackle sound. Instead of popcorn today, we're having popsicles. We figured that's halfway to popcorn.
Popsicles.
Yeah. And they're yellow, so they're kind of corn-colored, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Ezra Taft Benson from BYU Devotional Talk, 10th of December, 1974. We're like going back 5 years every podcast, I think. That's okay. You want to start?
Sure. We seek that which is praiseworthy, lovely, virtuous, and of good report. That's Article of Faith 13, right?
Yep.
And we salute Beethoven, Shakespeare, Rembrandt, and Michelangelo. In due time, we will also have more of our own giants, particularly great father patriarchs and noble champions of, and mothers of men. There is certain music heard and art seen and clothes worn on this campus, BYU, that must pass away. Not because the styles change, but because our standards will be improved.
I think that's interesting because it doesn't say... because we've lost the standards, or we've dropped standards, or we're
going to
stop dropping standards, but because we're going to raise the standards, that they'll be improved. And you think about that, we're seeking, or trying to become celestial. I mean, we're trying to become celestial people. We want to be like our Heavenly Father, and if we want to be like our Heavenly Father, we better intend to eventually live the kind of standards He lives. And so, our standards ought to be improving throughout
constantly.
Our lives, rather than slowly dropping as we get older.
Yeah. When individual actions of some church members disturb you, here's another principle to consider. This is the principle of stewardship. As the kingdom grows larger, more and more responsibilities have to be delegated, and stewardships handed out. Men respond in different degrees of valiancy to their stewardships. God is very patient and long-suffering as He waits for some of us to rise to our responsibilities. He usually gives a man a long enough rope and long enough time to either pull himself up to the presence of God or to drop off somewhere below. But while God is patient, no puny arm of man in His stewardship can long impede or pervert the work of the Lord. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind ever so finely.
What a great quote. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind ever so finely.
That made me think of when we hear other people listening to music that's not up to our standards. It's no place for us to judge.
Yeah. Them, obviously, you know? If we're in a situation where we have to listen to it, we may have to speak up or whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't...
yeah, but we can't.
We hear somebody driving by listening to unworthy music... even if we know them, it may not be our place to say, hey, that music that you're listening to is not up to standard or something. It's not our place to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, everyone has agency.
Yeah. And I like how it says that God is very patient and long-suffering as He waits for some of us to rise to our responsibilities. And it's interesting that it says that He gives us enough rope long enough to pull ourselves up to the presence of God or to drop off somewhere below. You notice the action is based on us.
Mm-hmm.
He's already given us a rope that's long enough to that we can climb to where He is. But
But we have to choose to either do that or drop
the rope. Or drop below. And that's, yeah. I think, one of the reasons why stagnating isn't any good. Because if you just hang from a rope, I mean, you're just going to get more and more tired. You can't stop getting tired. You know, you mm-hmm. just won't. And if you're not climbing, you'll be getting tired. Okay. Because God has given men their agency, there will always be those who will misuse it. The gospel net draws in the good and the bad, the best and the worst. The worst because the devil, before the final cleansing, put some of his followers within the kingdom in order to try it and destroy it. We have some of them within the kingdom today, and in due course their number shall be known. Time has a way of taking care of things, of elevating the good and bringing down the bad. If we see things going on within the kingdom that disturb us, we might first resolve if the matter falls within. We might first resolve if the matter falls within our stewardship. Mm. We then might go to the person or people involved. If it is of such a nature that we think it should be called to the attention of higher authority, then we can, in a kindly and quiet manner, take the necessary steps at the proper level.
Well, that's interesting. In a kindly and quiet manner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you gotta use the proper ways. You know, if there's, you know, a teenager that's your kid's friend that's listening to rotten music all the time, you don't need to go to the bishop about it right away. Talk to the kid's parents or talk to the kid himself first.
Yeah. Okay. To publish differences we may think we have with leaders of the church to create strife and division is a sure road to apostasy. Our task is to stick with the kingdom, not to let anything or anybody disaffect or sour us toward that great gift which Christ has given us, his church. The church is true. Keep its laws, attend its meetings, sustain its leaders, accept its callings, get its recommend, enjoy its blessings. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting how it says that, you know, the devil, back up a ways, the devil puts some of his followers in the kingdom in order to destroy it. You notice that the worst blows that the church receives come from within. They're from people mm-hmm. saying bogus things, you know, totally
inappropriate things. That also claim to be a member of the church.
They're like, I've been a member for whatever, you know. And it's like, that may be true, but do you realize you can be a follower of Satan and still be a member of the church? You know? And really, I heard an interesting thing. It was on the Creativity podcast, the Church's Everything Creative podcast. One of the creative writers said that he just recently changed his definition of righteous and unrighteous. He said he's always thought of righteous as those who do what they're supposed to, and the wicked as being those who do things that they're not supposed to. And he said he's always had that in mind, but more recently he's changed his feelings about that to those who are repentant and those who are not repentant.
Mm.
And I thought, I got thinking, I'm like, wow, that is profound, because it's like he says that the Lord says that he, you know, his blessings are for those who keep his commandments and those who seek so to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about just doing all the right things. It's about trying and making that constant effort to do the right thing.
Yeah, I was reading.
And that's why repentance is so great.
I was reading Believing Christ by Stephen E. Robinson a while ago. And he has a whole chapter on that. And, you know, on how, with dealing with works and grace and stuff, and how it's not, we're not given grace, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure how to word what I'm trying to say. The words are not coming. But we don't have to keep the commandments perfectly, but we have to be willing to.
Yeah. Which is interesting because the moment you start thinking to yourself, even subconsciously, well, I don't have to do this because, you know, he's forgiving, is the moment that we have crossed the line between being repentant to being unrepentant. There you go. Right. You know, from suddenly you don't want to be doing it. You don't want to be trying to follow if you're saying to yourself, well, you know, it's not necessary for my salvation, or, you know, it's not going to be brought up on the judgment day or something. You know, I think it's about our hearts. Where is your heart truly? Where is it truly? And if you can, you know, and if you can't answer that you really do want to do what's right,
and you want to keep all the commandments perfectly, you know, even though you may mess up, you know, from time to time, but you want to always be keeping the commandments. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And that's something that everyone has to think about for themselves and decide for themselves. Where do you stand on that? Are you
like, am I making excuses for my not doing it just because I don't want to be doing it? Or am I
honestly making
the effort and sometimes failing, but continually getting up and trying again? So, in terms of music, how does this apply to music anyway?
Well, I was just thinking, if you're hanging on to your favorite songs and favorite artists, kind of like you would hang on to a favorite sin because you like it or whatever reason.
You're like, it's not that bad.
Yeah, and you're making excuses for listening to it, then do you really have the desire to listen to better music?
And the way I see
it, it's probably
better, at least for your own, self, to be trying to justify why you shouldn't be listening to it rather than why you should, simply because it carries more of an air of, you know, I'm trying to do what's right.
Yeah, if you go a little bit overboard, I mean...
Yeah, as long as you're not going around preaching to everybody that you are, or trying to make yourself look better, or think yourself better.
You might,
if you're like, I think this one's okay, but I really don't want to risk it. That is evidence that you're trying, that you're really working at it. You may later have a different opinion.
Yeah, you know, and so what if you do miss out on some great music just because you weren't sure about it? I am much better to miss out on good music.
Better to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, than to listen to music that rots your spirit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing to think about with your music and media intake is what is your intent? Are you listening to it? Are you trying to justify your listening to it, or do you really believe that it is uplifting and so forth? And along those lines, let's read Moroni chapter 7, verses 12 through 17.
Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. That's an interesting word in there. Twice in there it says the devil is fighting against God continually, and inviting and enticing us to do evil things continually. He never stops. He never gives us a break.
He never sleeps.
Yeah, he doesn't need to sleep. Anyway, so we have to be constantly on guard. You know?
Eternal vigilance. Or something like that.
You know, but that, you know, with reference to music again, you know, you never know where you're going to hear inappropriate music.
Oh, yeah. Like, you'll hear it.
Crops up everywhere. In the grocery store. I mean, what do you do about it if you hear it?
Occasionally you hear it in a youth dance, a church youth dance.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't get out to the church for it, but somebody in there slipped.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and you can always avoid places where you know inappropriate music will probably be played.
Yeah.
But
don't go to a bar and complain because their music is
raunchy.
It's raunchy.
Yeah.
I mean, hello. What are you even doing there? You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Oh, there's continually again. God, on the other hand, is inviting us to do good things continually.
But, yeah, he doesn't stop. Which is another reason to think, if you're constantly seeking to do what's right and constantly trying to listen for that positive, good voice, then it's always there, and it's always, that influence is always there if you just tune
And kind of like radio stations.
Yeah.
Kind of like there's a bad radio station that's always playing rotten music and seeding rotten ideas in your brain. And, you know, and then there's another station that plays 24/7 too, that's playing good, uplifting music all the time.
Yeah.
Which station do you tune into in your head?
Which made me think of taking that analogy even further. We live between our two... Our house and Jenny's parents' house, there's a lot of mountains, and so we travel through the mountains a lot. And as we're driving along, I mean, there comes a point where you can't hear the radio at all. But aside from that, as we go along, we find that sometimes you start losing the station, and you have to adjust the dial to... Now, if it's a digital radio, that doesn't work. Anyways, but if you've got the dial radio, as you're moving, and in life, we don't stop moving. You're constantly moving. You may have to be constantly adjusting that dial
to be able to hear the good signal.
You can't just get it somewhere once and say, okay, I'm safe. I'm in the right tone.
I'm set on the good station.
Yeah. It's like saying, okay, I feel the spirit today. I don't have to worry about it until you know, when?
Until
judgment day. I mean,
I felt the spirit once. All right, that's all
I'm
I need.
Good. I don't think so. Okay. Where are we at?
Let's see. I was stopped in the middle of the verse.
Oh, okay.
Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God.
Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge.
Ooh, interesting. Sorry.
What's that?
That just, you know, people always...
You always say, don't judge,
up,
your judgment,
you know,
don't be so judgmental.
The verse, is it from Matthew, judge not...
That you be not judged?
Yeah. Anyway.
The Joseph Smith translation,
right here in
by
scripture.
The way, says judge not
unrighteously,
but judge righteous
yeah.
judgment.
You have
Of course
to
you
judge.
Have to judge. You have to judge your music. You have to. If you don't, I mean, you could just go along and say, oh, well, I'm not going to claim that going to this party where they're going to be, you know, doing bad things is okay, or whatever. I don't know what
What are you trying to say there?
I'm trying to say you can't just go somewhere thinking, well, I'm not going to judge them. I'm just going to go to it, or I'm just going to go and do this. I'm going to watch this movie. I'm not going to judge it, you know. Hello, you better be judging movies. You don't have to judge people, individuals, but you better be judging movies and music and
yeah.
things and where you're going and what you're doing.
Yeah, ultimately, you need to be the one that decides
you need to judge.
What you see and what you listen to
and even
what you read,
who you hang out with.
You are the judge of that, and you can't, you know, you can't blame any mistakes you might make on who your friends were or the music you listened to, because you chose it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Yes. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore, I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore, ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil, and believe not in Christ, and deny him, and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither do his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him.
Interesting that it says, you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil.
Yeah, there's
simply
a way to know.
Simply because it persuades you to not believe in Christ and to deny him and to serve and to not serve God. You know, if something is pulling you away from that. Now, there's lots of things that are totally harmless and, you know, if you're singing Twinkle Little Star, it's not going to do one way or the other. But, you know, think about that. Is your music, does it pull you away from him? And if so, then you know with a perfect knowledge it's of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's up to your agency, up to you with
up
your
to
agency
you to
decide whether you want to follow Satan or whether you want to follow Christ. Okay. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully, for with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech of you, my brethren, that ye search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. I like how it says, search diligently in the light of Christ.
It's not that easy, you know. I mean,
yeah,
this kind of makes it sound easy, but
yeah, and I think
it takes work.
It is very plain, and the line is very clear. But we're kind of short. What's the word?
Short-sighted.
Not short-sighted. Our vision. It's nearsighted.
Oh.
There you go. Nearsighted. See, the way I see it is there is a strict straight line between black and white, between what's right and what's wrong. Imagine two pieces of paper side by side touching each other that are one's black and one's white. There's a fine line right in between there, and it's easy. Now, if I take out my contacts, I've got horrid vision and horrible nearsighted vision. If I take out my contacts, it's a blur.
And
if
I'm backed up far enough,
there's a big gray area and then white toward one side and black toward the other. It's not the paper that's gray. There's nothing gray about it. It's not the, you know, the line is very fine and clear.
The line is still there.
But my vision has to be improved. And how do we improve our vision so that the line is clear and unmistakable? We search diligently in the light of Christ. And we constantly seek to do what's right. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing about that too, you know, we talk about the knowledge of good and evil and how important that is. We have plenty of knowledge of evil. It's mm-hmm. practically by osmosis. We just suck it up because we're living in a world that is absolutely saturated with it. So the only way to get the full picture is to absolutely immerse yourself in light and in truth and in righteousness. When you do that, your vision gets so clear and you can see the darkness better than you ever could when you were in it. And you can see the light as well as anything. And that fine line in between is unmistakable. So, now here's a cool little quote deal. I actually had, in seminary, somebody, one of my teachers gave us a little handout with this, and I loved it, and I took it on my mission and used tape to laminate it and so I could carry it around. And then I slowly began to realize, well, where did this come from? Who came up with this? You know, it seems right and it seems accurate, but I don't have a reference, so I don't really. I better check my sources, you know, make sure this isn't just some seminary teacher that made this up. And so I couldn't find one, so I gave up. Well, just not too many months ago, I found it, and it was said by John H. Groberg, who's in the First Quorum of the 70, and in a BYU devotional called Investing for Eternity, June 1982. So, it is a chart, sort of, actually.
About how to discern the influence of the Spirit. So it's got two columns, and on one side it says, when you have the Spirit, And the other side says when you do not have the Spirit or when Satan is prompting you.
So think about whatever your feelings are at any given time. Which side are you on? Do you want to, if you want, you could read the good side and I'll read the bad side.
Okay.
Should I use my evil, raunchy voice? Because that's the devil.
What voice should I use?
Your normal voice. That'd be good.
You're trying to say my voice is righteous? It's your
voice is angelic. So it's perfect. So, what she says is when you're feeling the Spirit. What I say is when you do not have the Spirit or when Satan is prompting you.
Okay. So number one, you feel happy and calm.
You feel unhappy, depressed, confused, frustrated.
You feel full of light.
You feel heavy, full of darkness.
Your mind is clear.
Your mind is muddled. It's like an argument.
Oh dear.
What did you do?
Lost us. Wait, it's down here. I know. We're finding it. We're finding it. It's not taking that long. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Your bosom burns with love for the Lord and for others.
You feel empty, hollow, cold inside.
You feel generous.
You feel selfish, possessive, self-centered.
Nobody can offend you.
Everything anyone does bothers you.
You are very forgiving and kind.
You are always on the defensive.
That makes me think of a talk that Elder Holland gave pretty recently about talking about the church with others, especially on the internet. And one of the points he made was to avoid becoming defensive.
Yeah. And you see people making big old arguments that are supposedly blasting the other side. You know, the Lord doesn't blast people.
Yeah.
Not generally, anyway. Only under extreme circumstances. But
and he's very kind about it.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
You feel confident in what you do.
Did you read this one? Oh, yeah, you did. Okay. You become discouraged easily.
You don't mind anyone seeing what you're doing.
You become secretive, evasive.
You feel outgoing, anxious to be with others.
You want to be alone. You avoid others, especially family members.
Especially family members.
I got that copied in twice. Especially family members. Especially family members. Like, oh, those family members.
You are glad when others succeed.
You are envious of what others do and what they have. Which makes me kind of laugh when people, they're like, oh, I got this and this. And somebody responds, I hate you. You're like, hello, what kind of spirit is that?
Let's see. You want to make others happy. Even those opposed to you.
You want to even and show others up.
Get even?
Oh, you want to get even and show others up.
You bring out the best and say the best about others.
You are critical of others, especially family members.
Those family members.
Those family members. And those in authority.
You gladly and willingly perform church work.
You feel hesitant, unworthy, and unwilling to perform church ordinances.
Interesting that it's Satan that makes you feel unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Yeah, think about all the times that you're getting ready to go to the temple and you're like, and things get frustrating. You're like, ah, I don't feel like I want to do it, you know.
Yeah.
In this spirit, I can't go, you know, kind of thing. Well, hello, that's Satan prompting you. Just turn around and go.
Okay. You feel like praying and reading the scriptures.
You don't want to pray or read the scriptures.
You wish you could keep all of the Lord's commandments.
You find the commandments of God and rules of the family bothersome, restricting, and senseless. I just realized I should be using the devil voice.
You forgot your voice, yeah.
And the one on Emperor's New Groove, remember?
That is his voice.
First of all, look what he's wearing.
Okay.
And second, look what I can do.
You feel you have control of your appetites and emotions, food and sleep in moderation, sexual restraint, creation or recreation that is wholesome and moderate. You are calm and control your speech. You feel no anger.
You become a slave to your appetites. Your emotion becomes passionate. Overindulgence in food, sleep, sex, stimulating entertainment, loud music, strong anger, outspokenness, all become part of your character.
You feel a desire to help others, usually in a way no one else will know about.
You want to make sure all the help you give others is duly noted by them and the world.
You speak and think only good about others.
You look for and find evil in others and broadcast it.
There's a lot of that going on the internet. Sorry.
Yeah.
You feel sorrow when others have problems and sincerely desire to help them.
You question others' motives and secretly delight in their problems and say, I'm glad I'm not that way.
You realize that your thoughts and your actions are open to God.
You feel that what you do and think is only your business, and no one else knows or cares. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So many of those things. And that wakes me up, anyway, to the fact that there's very often where I am allowing myself to be influenced by Satan and allowing myself to give in to those.
A lot more often than you think.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm...
And for example, when we read about overindulging in sleep, I do that.
Yeah.
I allow myself to become a slave to needing sleep.
Well, and I think...
And that's not Heavenly Father saying, you need to rest, you need to relax. It's Satan saying, you deserve this sleep.
Yeah, and I think this statement about delighting in others' problems is kind of the key to what self-righteousness really is. You know, we talk about people being self-righteous because they think they're all good and think everybody else is bad. Well, here's the question that they have to ask themselves and probably determine whether or not their motives are pure is this. It says, you question others' motives and secretly delight in their problems and say, I'm glad I'm not that way.
Mm.
Interesting.
So when someone, is having a hard time keeping one of the commandments,
Yeah.
Do you think the worst about them? Do you think, and question their motives?
Which is one of the reasons that gossip is so dangerous. I mean, look at what the whole point of gossip is. Now, if you're going and saying, I really need your help. So-and-so is in trouble. Is there anything we can do for them? That's different. You're trying to help and you want to. But if you're going and say, guess what I heard? So-and-so is doing this. That's secretly delighting in their problems. And then you say, I'm so glad I'm not that way,
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's satanic, really. But that's, gossip self-righteous, really.
How often do you do it? And, even if you don't ever say anything to anyone else about it, how often do you think it to yourself?
Yeah. And I really like some of these good things, too. I mean, and just doing these things, sometimes a lot of them are things that you do by choice. You speak and think only good about others. Obviously, there's going to be temptation to think bad things, but you can control whether you speak good about others. Maybe you're in a situation where it's very tempting to speak mean things about them.
Yeah.
If you just decide, I'm going to say something nice. Oh, but yeah. I really like the way they this.
Well, there is.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels so good. And I think sometimes, even if you weren't feeling the Spirit before, I think the Spirit will come.
Yeah, there was a time when I was at work and we were at a lunch break and I with a bunch of ladies and they were all ragging on their husbands. They were all telling all the worst things their husbands do that annoy them. And I was just kind of listening, not saying anything. And, and of course there are things about Chaz, things that he does that bug me. But
I was just going to say, that must have been easy for you because there's not really anything you could say.
I mean, he's human. He's not perfect. And so he does do things that bug me. But I don't need to go telling all of my girlfriends about it.
Yeah. You know, there's just not any point to that.
I don't even need to tell my mom.
If there's danger, a situation, you're saying, yeah, help. I don't know how to get out of this situation. You know? But that's different than going, yeah, and say, oh, he always does this or she always does, yeah, that.
You know, and I kind of caught myself, you know, starting to think of some of those things, you know, that one day at lunch, and I caught myself doing that, and I was like, no, I don't need to, you know, I don't need to be a part of this. I don't need to tell them all about, you know, and I forced myself to think about the good things about Chaz, the things that he does that I love, and the things, you know, the things that make me happy about him, And then, you know, a short while later, they were still talking about this, and they were like, you know, well, Jenny, you're recently married. What do you have to say? And, you know, and I just, you know, because I had been thinking of those things, you know, I had a whole list of good things about Chaz that I told them about. And I, you know, I was like, there's nothing. And they are, oh, well, you're just a newlywed, but.
I hate that.
They didn't know what I had been thinking.
Yeah, I hate that when people say that. That's like, I was working with some guys that, at this job, and they were saying some pretty vulgar things, basically, kind of, well, they were making comments about some of the women who are around at the place we work,
and how hot they were and stuff,
basically, and they were both married, and I was like, I don't understand you guys, and they were like, oh, you just haven't been married long enough, you know, and I thought about it later, and I was like, oh, you know how the perfect statement comes at the when it's way too late. I wanted to say, I hope that I never get to the point where I can say, I've been married long enough. You know, I mean, hopefully I'll never be married long enough. I never intend to be hopefully, married long enough.
Yeah. Anyway, we made a decision kind of early on in our marriage with these things happening and stuff. You know, we decided that our honeymoon will never end. And that's our choice. We can choose to never let it end.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, it hasn't.
No, it's still going on.
We're still newlyweds.
It's very interesting with kids and all, you know. Certainly taking a little turn there for
it's
adventure.
It's a little more interesting,
you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They're part of it.
They are. And a very fun part of it, too. So, this wraps up.
Long enough.
That's
what's
okay.
The word? We've been talking too long. You probably are sick of listening to us.
Hey, I like soapboxes. Okay, well, this ends this episode of Popcorn and Podcasting. And
thanks for listening.